You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. Your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey guys, Joe here. We have a little surprise for you all this episode. Instead of rehashing the same game and attempt to prognosticate the future of this club, Matt and I actually teamed up with some of the other hosts in the Metro Division or Mass Mutual Division, whatever you want to call it nowadays, for a pre-playoff kind of roundtable discussion. And of course, we got into Tom Wilson as well. We thought this would be a nice little break from the usual, you know, kind of grind of rehashing games and you know, like I said, trying to think of what the future of this club's going to be because no one has any idea right now. This special episode was actually recorded before the New York Rangers decided to fire everybody. So just as a heads up, this was the night before that all went down. So we didn't ignore it, just no one saw it coming, I guess. Before we get into that, though, before we launch into that special episode, quick word from our sponsor. Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code THPN during sign-up. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist means so much more with a DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN, and you get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Without further ado, let's going to throw it over to our friends in the Mass Mutual Division, and let's talk some Mass Mutual teams, baby. Let's go.
Mass Mutual East Division fan, we have put together this roundtable, and I'm just going to go around and toss the mic around and let everyone introduce themselves. So we'll start, I guess, on top middle, Nick Berlansky. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here with you boys. I'm sad I missed the first one, but Horwat ragged the puck pretty well for our podcast. Of course, I am the host of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast covering the Pittsburgh Penguins, who by the end of tonight should be, and I emphasis on the should, be back in the top position of this lovely East Division. So I'm glad to come here and talk to the plebeians of the division, and I'm just ready to talk because I feel like there's a couple of topics that are going to be pretty interesting today.
Oh, yeah. Matt, what's up?
What's going on? So, Matt Arenik, pigeon number two, I guess, of the three pigeons podcast. We have the boys outnumbered here with two of the three pigeons on here. So I like our chances tonight.
I like our chances more than I like the Flyers' chances tonight. this is Joe Gazarian, pigeon number three. This season did not go the way it, you know, I think a lot of people thought it would for the Fly guys, but still a lot of other fun things to talk about and still playoffs to watch. So we're still hockey fans at heart. We're going to watch regardless if the boys in orange and black are in or not. So still some fun things to talk about.
Absolutely. Andy, what's up, dude?
existence is pain. I've been up since 3 a.m. Of course, the day where I'm literally running on fumes, everything happens. So yeah, I'm like I said, I'm running on no sleep, but I'm ready. I have my my wrists are taped. You can't see them, but I'm ready to go. Mass Mutual Division, watch out.
So just to review, Nick here is repping the Pittsburgh Penguins. The two pigeons, Matt and Joe, are repping the Philadelphia Flyers, and Andy of the Broadway Boys podcast is going to be repping the New York Rangers. And of course, me, the hockey troll, representing the greatest team in the NHL, the Washington Capitals. So I guess, where did we want to start, boys? There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot. I'm so glad Andy's here. I know I'm going to be in a minority in more than one way today in this podcast. So do we want to get into the Tom Wilson talk, or we want to talk like playoffs and how the team?
No, I'm not. I need to work my way up to that. Let's take care of a little business, a little house cleaning up top, and then we can let this devolve, because I got to save my voice for that, I think.
Fair enough. Well, I think we should start with the Philly boys, because I have a bit of a bone to pick with them, considering they were my pick to replace the Pittsburgh Penguins as the Philadelphia kind of placeholder in the top of the Mass Mutual East Division. So, you know, what say you, boys?
I don't think you were wrong to think that. I think we all thought that for a good bit. I mean, this team was trending in all the right directions. You know, they were one of the hottest teams in the league right before COVID hit last year. The bubble, the games before the bubble, they were just destroying teams, but it just turns out, I guess, those teams weren't really trying. And then the playoffs came, and the Flyers were just – they were nowhere to be found. They were not the same team they were the rest of that season. So it was strange. I mean, easy to chalk that up to, you know, it being COVID and just being a weird time. But we've just seen the same kind of themes that were progressing through the offseason – or through the playoffs, I should say. They've just manifested into this entire season. And Matt can – like I said, he's the more analytical one, so he can talk a little more about it. But definitely tough. Not the year anybody was expecting or definitely wanted. So,
yeah, I mean, I agree. I've never seen an NHL team defend as bad as this team has. It's like, you can look at the goaltending, and it's pretty close to historically worst duo. I think
it's pretty close.
It's up there. And I think we're closing in on like our 07-08 season, when we were the worst team in the NHL. We're closing in on the most, pretty much matching those goals against from that season. So it's just night after night, players wide open in the slot, turnovers, just looks like a team that's kind of quit on the coach. So as we mentioned before we hopped on here, we're very interested to see what Chuck Fletcher has in mind for the offseason, because there better be some changes. Otherwise, Comcast is going to have some trouble getting fans in the door.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you are attributing the downfall start in the bubble, and not it just was like the season started and everybody came out flat. And is that right? I mean, am I hearing you correctly as far as it was just the bubble from to now, or are you chalking? I mean, because it is, like you said, easy to chalk up the bubble as being like, well, fuck it.
It's just the same themes like Matt talked about, just people just being alone in the slot, just real lack of jump from the get from a lot of these games. And this team's historically been slow starting for the past, I want to say, probably 10 years. But shot quality, shot chances, just shot totals, that was a big issue in the playoffs, especially against the Islanders. And they play such a heavy defensive game. Trotz, by the way, for my money, is probably the best coach in the NHL. But yes, he definitely is. But we just keep seeing the same themes, and you know, it'd be one thing if they were able to shake it off, but they manifested from the bubble, from the playoffs, immediately into game one and game two against the Penguins, the first game of the year. The second game of the season, you could pull the tape. I told them, I was like, listen, guys, I got a bad feeling. This defense, there are guys wide open, more breakaways than I could count. And it was the same thing against the Islanders. Every time you looked the other way, Barzal or Bolivier was going the other way, and it was a 2-on-0 or a 2-on-1. So the only real difference was goaltending. Carter Hart was actually really good last year. In the playoffs, he was spectacular. He had a couple shutouts against Montreal, and you know, even when he had a bad game, he would answer it with a terrific game. And that's not really been the case this year. The goalies really bailed this team out early, and then – I mean, you can only ask your goalies to do so much. They were winning a lot of games early. They weren't supposed to be winning, and eventually that kind of luck just runs out. So,
Absolutely. So are you in the familiar mind of going up? Oh, sorry, Andy, what were you saying?
I said that sounds vaguely familiar to me.
I'm sure, yeah.
As and I only say this because Canucks fans warned Rangers fans. They said, I know you're all high on this guy, and he's going to come in, and it's going to be great because he's going to stretch the ice out. Your offense is all of a sudden you're going to score a lot more off the rush, and you're going to free up some of those forwards who have been playing, you know, who maybe had been corralled into, you know, just maybe adapt playing their style, playing a little too conservative. And it's great, but as time goes on, if your goaltenders aren't up to the task, I mean, it definitely taxes them in terms of just stretching the ice and not having the support, you know, constantly. So, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that Carter Hart will rebound. You know, he was so good last year. And, yeah, just I just think getting off to the start he did this year, it's just, yeah, it's not easy, especially in, you know, everything else going on this season. It's a difficult season under these circumstances. But, you know, you do have to wonder, you know, because, and that's the other thing with Alain Vigneault coach teams is that he is not big on making adjustments. Although, you know, you could have said the same thing for John Tortorella, and he eventually saw the light on that. So who knows? Maybe he does adjust to the team he has in front of them. But yeah, I just think right now, I think Joe put it perfectly, you can't just leave all that on your goaltender for over a full season, even a half a season under these circumstances. It's just too much. So yeah, we'll see. But, you know, I mean, I just look for a team like the Rangers just changing. They're getting a new defensive coach over the season has worked wonders for them. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe without removing AV, a shakeup to his assistants might be just what the doctor ordered. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just
preaching to the choir there. This is this is a non Michelle Therrien non-friendly podcast for
Mike Yeo,
or Mike Yeo,
the worst penalty kill in the league and the worst defensive team in the league. So
you don't have to tell me that twice.
Yeah, it's funny.
Thanks, Nick.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say Berlansky. Jacques Martin is awesome. I don't know why you guys let him go. Like,
yeah,
the Rangers actually have a good penalty kill now. He's this guy's real good. You know, for once the Rangers actually have good defense, at least 5-on-5. You know, so.
Well, something had to change after they lost to the Canadiens, and they weren't going to change much about their roster. So they said, assistant coaches. Who needs assistant coaches? And Martin was the one that we were all surprised about, but Gonchar and Recchi, you could kind of see the writing on the walls for them.
Yeah.
So for the Flyers, are they blowing it up? What would you, Matt and Joe, like to see?
Go ahead, Matt. You could take the reins on this, but I feel like I talked a lot.
No, I mean, we kind of talked about this on our last podcast. Is my initial thought is I would really like them to see kind of making a deal with Seattle to take JVR or Jake Voracek. Not because I don't think they're good players. I think they've both been extremely productive for us this year. But that $7 to $8 million could be better used elsewhere. Specifically, I mean, I don't know if I like or love our chances of getting a Dougie Hamilton. I have no idea why he would leave the Canes unless they just weren't willing to pay him what he's worth. But if we're able to kind of swap out that $8 or so that we're paying those two players for and using that money on the back end to really shore up the defense, that's something that we really like the idea of. We're also kind of eyeing just some player for player deals, right? Kind of swapping out certain players. And the, I don't know what he's considered, the president, I guess, of the Flyers, Dave Scott, came out and mentioned that he doesn't foresee them needing to blow it up in the sense of a rebuild. I just think there needs to be a dynamic, a shift in the locker room. Change the dynamic, not the same leadership we've seen over the past 3, 4, or 5 years. Because as like I look to the Wild, right? Like the Wild made some weird moves this offseason. Obviously they brought in, always mess up his name. Was it Kaprizov? Yeah. So obviously he's a big part of that, but it speaks to kind of chemistry. And I think the Pens are bring that up well too, is that they have just players in the bottom six who are not big name players, but they work well together and they've had success. So I think just a shake up in the locker room, leadership core, maybe like one or two big names getting swapped out for some other names. Maybe it's Calgary, maybe it's the Stars, There's some teams that have been struggling in a similar position as we have. So I think there's some deals to be made. It's just going to be tough with the flat cap.
And when we say leadership, we don't mean Claude Giroux. No. I've watched almost every single game this season. I've missed maybe just a small handful. That guy, he gives everything every single night. He's the kind of leader that leads by example. And I think with this team, that just doesn't really work as well as it should. Maybe it's because a lot of them are still young with Konechny and Patrick. Maybe that's not the kind of leadership style they respond to. But they definitely need somebody with maybe just a more boisterous presence, somebody that's going to talk a little bit more in the locker room and kind of lay down the law. I think we had that person in Wayne Simmons. Obviously, you know, his time came to an end. It was the time for him to move on. But they lost that kind of locker room presence, someone who's going to, you know, make it more accountable. And we've talked about this on the pod too, where, you know, this team has been together. A lot of these players have been together for so long that it's very easy to get complacent. And, you know, just you become really good friends and you know each other's mannerisms. You know everything about each other. The chances of you, you know, stepping up and saying what needs to be said, probably not going to happen as much because you're really comfortable with one another and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to lose a friend. And it just kind of feels like it's time that they need another voice, like Matt said, another kind of just change up the locker room, get somebody in there, kind of remind these guys that, hey, you're getting paid, you know, millions of dollars. It's time to produce, you know? So we'll see. Definitely, I see some hockey deals coming if they can pull them off. Chuck Fletcher has an enormous, he's put a lot of pressure on himself because obviously it's tough and we understand that it's tough with a flat cap, but no, the Bucks got to stop somewhere. That's what I kept saying the last episode. Bucks got to stop somewhere. He's the general manager. He's got to make it happen. So we'll see. This is going to be the biggest offseason hands down since the Flyers probably, since they moved Carter and Richards for Brizgalov, and, you know, got Brayden Schenn and Simmons 10 years ago almost. So we'll see. Big off seasons ahead.
Absolutely. No doubt. No doubt. Well, do we want to shift to the other team in Pennsylvania? Like, fuck that state. I'm so sorry, guys. Fucking Pennsylvania. Hershey can stay. Hershey can stay. But so what's up, Nick? How are the Penguins looking? Are they still atop the division or will they be after tonight?
Right now, they're currently leading 3-1 in what's getting a much more interesting Flyers game because it's getting really chippy over there. I know I just saw Gostis Bear crush Cody Ceci. Crosby was driving. Konechny's heading to the ice about 5 minutes ago. So it's getting some classic Pens Flyers, and I'm starting to enjoy it. But you saw how they were over the weekend, Hockey Troll. They were doing pretty good when they were in D.C. So that's been basically how they've been the past month and a half. They've been able to play consistently, even though they've been having injuries basically throughout their entire forward lineup. Monday night was the return of Evgeny Malkin. It didn't go as planned. Tonight going a little bit better, but they're starting to get healthier. As I say that, every time it seems like a Penguin gets healthy, a Penguin gets hurt. So it's just a story that they have to keep playing through and hope that when the next guy comes up, he continues to do what everybody else has done this season and kind of just defy the odds and still produce, even though they haven't played. And like Mark Friedman, we were talking before the podcast, has now played four games with the Pittsburgh Penguins and all
only against
four,
the Flyers.
Yeah, all against the Flyers. So will he play on Thursday against the Sabres? Probably not, because he can only play against the Flyers in black and gold. So it's been a really, really intriguing season as far as the injury is concerned, but they've somehow pulled it off. They're in the playoffs again. My bet is still alive with Hockey Troll. It's going to come down to probably a series between the two, which will make for some very interesting content.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever. Andy, what's up with the Rangers?
You know, other issues aside, at the beginning of the season, James and I were asked each other what our predictions for this team were. And we said they're either going to sneak in by the skin of their ass or they're going to miss by, you know, inches. And it looks like they're just going to miss, you know, just miss out. And it's weird. So you'd think, you know, I don't know. I thought I would be happy with the progress that, you know, you've seen from just because they're still the youngest team in the league as of right now. And just the amount of it seems like every five games they have a new rookie just jumping into the lineup. I think, you know, just alone this season, we had, you know, Lafreniere, Kravtsov, Zach Jones, Keandre Miller, a few, Tarmo Reunin, and a few other guys just, you know, come in, eat, whether it's for Morgan Barron, whether it's for a cup of coffee, or, you know, just for the rest of the season and try to solidify spots. And I also mentioned on our last podcast with James is that now that the expectations are finally starting to come, that, you know, you, after they put out that letter, you only have a couple of years before you can kind of insulate this group from, like, well, you should on paper have some of these pieces in place. So what do you have to show for it? And I don't think it starts this season, but it definitely starts next season. And I think, for reasons we're going to get into later, I think a big, bone of contention between most of the Rangers fan base is the construct or how the type of team they're constructing. Cause I think it's no secret that, in the past, you know, it was Lundqvist and a bunch of, like, good, albeit not, like, very great players. And now they've gone out and they've gotten so many high skill players, but the problem is they kind of now they lack the opposite. They don't have the lunch pail, just, you know, seasoned NHL vets who can log big minutes. You know, it's that inexplicable thing. It's like, why is, if you put a guy like Andy Green onto your decor, even though he's old and slow as molasses, why are they instantly better? Even though on paper, he's not a very good player anymore. I just think it's about just a comfortability factor and just having guys that understand situations. Cause that's the biggest thing, is that this Rangers team is been Jekyll and Hyde all season in terms of when they're, you know, they're young. So when they're confident and they're on, they're scoring, you know, 6 to 8 goals. And when they're not, they're blowing leads left and right. And, you know, they can't close and they just, you know, if they get deflated very easily, and, you know, it's a mark of a young team. So, you know, I can't say I'm too disappointed with the way the season's gone. I mean, I'm disappointed with the way some things have gone this year, but yeah, it's just, it was a difficult season, I think. And especially down the stretch, and just to get that close and then just get deflated like this is just, yeah, it's been rough, but I don't know. I guess I don't have too, other than that, I don't have too much to complain about.
But Andy, I mean, to the Rangers' credit, their rebuild has gone damn near flawlessly. I mean, it's impressive.
There's a little bit of luck in that, though, with the picks. Sure. A little bit of luck.
Yeah, there's a little bit of luck to see.
Well, you know, as far as that, I would say, you know, I look at Buffalo and trying to, you know, go for McDavid. They get Eichel, and then they finally get Dahlin. But at the same time, I honestly, it's like, I think everyone has known what the rules have been forever. And the Rangers in both seasons said, no, we're not going to tank. We're going to try to keep our competitive flair up. You know, because that, you know, James and I talk about this all the time. You look at some of these franchises that can't, I mean, they either can't break out of purgatory, or if they do, it's only for a season, like Arizona or Buffalo, who's still, what, a decade removed from making the playoffs. Like, you can invite that, like, we're going to burn everything down and lose to your doorstep. Just don't be surprised if it's hard to, like, you know, when it's time to finally, all right, we should be good now. Like, this is the season. And it's all of a sudden that just that mentality seems to linger. So I do give the Rangers credit for saying we're going to try to have it both ways. You know, we're going to try to be a competitive, you know, and yes, they were obviously very lucky in that, you know, they jumped so many spots to draft Kako 2 years ago. And then last summer, they actually make, you know, on a technicality, mind you, they somehow make it to the play, and they get trounced by Carolina, but because of that, they end up drafting Lafreniere first overall. But, you know, at the same time, that's another thing. I think you're going to have Rangers fans be upset that we didn't get the first overall pick or the second overall pick in a center heavy draft. Cause that's, you know, the Rangers are flush with wingers right now. So there's always something to complain about, but as far as the rebuild goes, I'm very excited, but I think now, fortunately, depending how you look at it, they're going to have to make some tough decisions, because they're going to have to flip some of these guys to maybe plug the spots in their lineup where they're deficient. And, you know, you have to make sure if you're going to let a kid go, and if you replace him with someone who doesn't pan out, and the asset you let go just blossoms elsewhere into a star or just a high profile player, you know, that's definitely the risk for them. So, but no, I mean, as far as the rebuild has gone, I think it's been, I have very little complaints with that on that front with Jeff Gorton. I think he's done a very good job. You know, contracts and re-signing guys, not so much, but at least in terms of as an architect for the rebuild, I couldn't be happier with that.
Word, absolutely. Well, I guess I'll go. The Caps are, you know, they're the Washington fucking Capitals. They're a playoff lock, I think, every year, despite whatever weird drama is going on right now with Samsonov and Kuznetsov and Laviolette. Making the move for Mantha, I think, was the right thing to do, as evidenced by his performance and by Verana kind of breaking out of his shell in Detroit. So, I mean, it is what it is. I think that home ice advantage is pretty important in the playoffs in this division coming up. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. I think that the really hard out that, I mean, we have the Rangers, Philly twice, and then Boston again. So we have the hardest strength of schedule on the last half, whereas the Penguins, you know, they had the easiest. I wonder who set that up. NHL. But, you know, we'll see how it goes down the stretch. And we're in the stretch, so the last few games left, and it'll be a dogfight to the end, I think. Right now, I do believe that the East is locked, right, with playoffs. The Islanders locked, the Pens and Caps are locked, and I think Boston is in, right?
Boston locked it up on Monday night with their win. So the four teams are locked, but the seeding could go in any which direction as of right now. Fourth place through first place is still undecided completely.
Absolutely. I wouldn't mind taking the Islanders in the first round. Berlansky, what do you think? Well, and the reason I say that is because I think that the Caps need a little bit of a redemption from the bubble. And I think that their regular season performance, not that it matters, has shown that maybe giving them a little bit of a boost. But anytime you give a Caps team a boost, it's like they're like, oh, we can easily beat this team. And then they go and shit the bed. So, which happened last year. So, but I still think that we need a little bit against old Trotsky and the Isle. So that's my pick for who I want to match up against with home ice advantage. So I don't care if we get the second seed there and not win the division again, you know, so many division titles, but Berlansky, who do you want to play the first round?
Pretty much. It doesn't really matter who the Penguins play, just because it's going to be a tough draw, no matter who we end up facing up against. Home ice advantage is pretty big for Pittsburgh too, because they're roughly 500 on the road, but at home they only have about five losses on the entire season. So home ice advantage is going to be huge. If you look at the way that they've played the worst against Boston, and it kind of makes sense. Crosby has never really had a big presence against the Bruins, whether that be at TD Garden or not. I mean, we've only won one game at TD Garden since 2014. So that's kind of inviting danger whenever you go into the playoffs. I think the sentiment is pretty even across Penguins land that it's either the Capitals or the Islanders just keep us away from Boston. And just because, one, I love Capitals postseason series. I think they're the funnest thing in the world, but
of course you do.
It invites craziness and invites chaos. And I mean, it also helps that we win 90% of the time, but the Islanders as well, there's something to be said about getting revenge for the Penguins as well. And from 2018. So who knows? We'll have to see.
Absolutely. Yeah, Joe, go ahead. What do you think matchups look like?
It's funny. So last year, I had a buddy who's a big Caps fan. So I've enjoyed the Capitals a lot. I really like the style of hockey they play for the last couple of years. I've thought they've been really good. But I had a really bad feeling about the Islanders last year, and Matt can attest. I called it. I said that the Islanders were going to wreck them. I just had a really bad feeling about it. Sure enough, they did. But this year I had Capitals making it and the Pens missing the playoffs. So it's funny. You guys are both in, we're the odd man out. So I like how the shoe's on the other foot here, but, I am petrified of the Islanders, man. I am. The Flyers have had really bad luck with them the past couple of years. It's funny. We've had seasons where we've dominated the Capitals most recently. For some reason, we've had their number, not really this year, but the last, like, I wouldn't say 2 years, we played them really, really well. Penguins, yeah. It goes back and forth. It kind of switches like every 3 years, one team is better. This year, ironically, we've had most of the wins this year against the Pens. But, man, Boston or the Isles, I don't know. The Islanders scare me. I really like Sorokin. I think he's a good goalie. And Trotz, like I said, is the best. I think he's the best coach in the NHL. He gets that team to perform like it's the greatest group of role players of all time, and each one of them knows exactly what role to play. They're a very well-oiled machine, so we'll see. I would be petrified if I was either of you to play the Islanders, but maybe that's just because they destroy us, so that could be bias.
Well, and that I think that you hit on a good point there, is that with Boston and with the Islanders, you know what you're going to get from that team night in and night out, and they deliver, you know, varying shades of that same exact game of good defensive positioning and you know, keeping people out of the middle and forcing pucks to the boards and then beating you off of them. So I think that's kind of a huge, you know, it's you know what you get every time, and they either play that amazingly well or good, and that's still, even at good, hard to beat. Whereas the Penguins and the Caps are a little bit more freewheeling at times, and maybe defense goes on the wayside. So definitely an interesting point. But yeah, I'll still stick to my guns as far as I think that the Island is where we need to go through them, then possibly Pittsburgh, and then it's a cup for sure. It's a lock, I think.
Not worried about the West, eh? They're just a bunch of – they're nothing out there. Colorado and even Minnesota is – I think they're 5-0 against Vegas. They've just been steamrolling teams out there. That Kaprizov, that guy can play, man.
Well, the West is where all the big bodies and you know, speed goes, but the East is where all the talent is. That's how I look at it.
You really think that? Well, look at the Avalanche, man.
Like, okay, fine. You have McKinnon. That's like,
yeah, Dreisaitl, McDavid, just a couple of small guys. They're not important. They're fine. You know.
If anything, I think it's more unfortunate for whoever comes out of the East. No matter, I'm not even going to try to make a prediction, because it's going to be just a murderer's row in that first two rounds. Whoever survives those first two rounds, they're definitely going to be depleted in most categories, going up against maybe a North Division team who's going through, I don't want to say a patty cake division, but comparatively, they're definitely going to have the hardest road to the semifinals, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And God, I mean, it's insane to me that a Canadian team is going to get a ticket to a final. So, you know, I guess that's what we get for COVID Cup beta or version 2.0. But Andy, what's your playoff? What are you looking forward to watching the playoff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously I'm actually really interested to see, I would love to see a Cats Lightning first round, just because it's crazy that they haven't, that hasn't happened yet. And especially because Tampa hasn't looked as motivated as they did last year, obviously, what they were on a mission, but you know, Florida finally controlling their own destiny a bit, especially with, you know, in the beginning of the year with them calling out the leadership, and you know, they were going to sit Yandel to break a streak because they thought this group didn't have it, and they've been off to the races since then. They're for real. Carolina again doesn't get talked about a lot, but they're, you know, one of the best teams in the league this year. Colorado, self-explanatory what they've done with losing a guy like Makar for most stretches, and now that, you know, he'll be healthy and ready to go, it's just, yeah, like you said, this is the Mass Mutual division is just, it's iron sharpening iron, but each team's gonna, if they lose, they're gonna take their pound of flesh, and just getting out of it, especially, and you know, say what you will about those teams in the North, but you know, if let's say Toronto has a pretty easy path out, you know, they're still figuring out how to maybe play defensively. They've been better this season, but they can score goals, and you know, if you have a relatively frosty and fresh Matthews and Marner and Tavares and Nylander, and you just got out of a war with a team, you know, you finally make it out of the East Division, you know, going to war with either the Bruins or the Islanders, or just a heavy, you know, team that suffocates you and lays the body and doesn't shy away, and then all of a sudden you're kind of used to that, and then you just have a high skill team that's just buzzing around the ice, and you're just kind of, you know, you're feeling your legs. Yeah, I, you know, I do worry about those teams, but still at the end of the day, I do think, you know, if I have to, I do think it'll be a team from the Mass Mutual division against it, you know, probably the Avalanche, you know, so we'll see how they do the seeding. But Yeah, but at the same time, like I said, Carolina, I just have a feeling about them this year. I think they're my cup winner this season. So
glad they got out of the division for sure, because they were really making the Caps look dumb in a lot of different ways. Matt, what's up, dude? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I wish I could watch the Avalanche out here. So.
Oh yeah, tell them this. I don't think they know, or maybe some of you guys know.
I was wishing, but it's essentially like, yeah, whatever deal they have with
altitude.
Yeah, altitude. You can't watch the games. So my roommates here are Avs fans, and it's a travesty not to be able to watch like probably the most exciting team in the NHL. So it's just blacked out. Can't watch it on like the NHL app. So that's been pretty brutal. And I think like the only way we can really watch it is like, I guess certain bars that have certain internet connections are able to watch the game. So that's really the only way in which I could watch them this season. So that would be terrible. If like a Vegas Avalanche series would be unbelievable, but then I'm sitting here and just, going to have to find like a VPN that is hosted in like Norway to be able to watch it or something. So
I got you, Matt. I got you. Don't worry.
But I think just reiterating a lot of what you guys have said, I do believe as though that the Bruins, if they can get healthy on the back end with the addition of Taylor Hall, really shoring up that top six, with that top line of Marchand, Pastrnak, and Bergeron, they're always a threat. It's similar to Pittsburgh, I guess the Caps as well. Like you guys, I feel as though any given year can do it. And with that addition, I'd be really interested to see if they kind of, even though they've been struggling throughout the year, get hot right at the right time, which has been more recently, and are able to kind of carry that momentum into this playoffs. But like you said, whoever comes out of here, you're talking about playing the Hurricanes, who I still believe the goalies have to prove it for them to be a serious contender. Or the Lightning. So it's going to be tough to come out of the East and then face one of the big guns out West for all the reasons you guys listed.
Absolutely. So, well, we've covered each of our teams, the playoffs. Is this, Andy, are we ready to do this? The whole Tom Wilson thing as he finishes his drink?
There you go. Smash a white claw.
Attaboy. Smashes it against his head.
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
All right. So I'll let you kind of open it up because you're the Rangers. You were the quote unquote victims of this.
Yeah, I feel like we need the Judge Judy music to, like dun 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 the defendant, Yeah. So we'll set the scene for anyone who's been living under a rock. Last night, the Rangers and the Caps played each other. And in the course of the game, there was a scrum where it, just trying to look at it, anecdotally, it looks like, the game had been getting progressively chippier. I know the Caps were upset with the refereeing at points. Both teams were kind of throwing, finishing their checks and throwing hits. At one point, there's a scrum, kind of a pile up in front of the net, in front of Vanacek for the Caps. And Buchnevich was kind of, I think, over him trying to get to a loose puck. It looks like Wilson comes behind him, or comes over him, I should say, with his stick. He kind of holds it wide and he kind of cross checks him in the back, or the back of the neck, I should say. And he punches him. It looks like he gives him a few rabbit punches to the head in a scrum. And then it looks like then they're all hell breaks loose. Panarin, I think, tries to jump on Wilson's back. Wilson doesn't like this, so he turns around, and then they kind of get into a bit of a wrestling. And there's a lot of bodies everywhere, but it looks like as they kind of, Wes McCall is just kind of watching this go down. He's not doing anything. He's just kind of watching it happen. And then at some point, we've seen in subsequent replays, it looks like, it seems like Wilson takes, Panarin and like by the head and throws him to the ice. So obvious, and then doesn't get, he gets sent to the box for roughing, but at the same time, so does Panarin, and Panarin's cut, when in the box, Wilson, he's flexing, he's doing all this other stuff. So, all right, obviously, I really do feel it's literally, I really haven't, outside of Caps fans, I really haven't, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure there's some people that are on Wilson's side, because, and I, and in full disclosure, even though I'm not, I was never really a Wilson hater. I wasn't like, oh man, I would love to have Tom Wilson guy. But at the same time, I wasn't like one of these people like, when is this going to stop? Like, you know, for years, it's been like Islander fans have been like, Tom Wilson needs to like be gone. And I was just like, yeah, this guy plays on the edge and he probably has to get it figured out. But then, you know, earlier this season, he gets suspended for what, the hit on Brandon Carlo. So, and then just with everything that happened, not one, but two different things that I thought were worthy of something. And again, and my take on this whole situation, and in surprisingly, do I think Wilson should have got suspended? Absolutely. I think he should have got a couple games. Like, you know, I don't know what that would equate to. Definitely the rest of the regular season. And then maybe, you know, I don't know, five playoff games or some, just something. But at the same time, seeing the response and that the fact that the Rangers then, you know, he only gets fined 5K, and then the Rangers have to put out a statement that's literally saying, you know, and listen, to put into context, the Rangers original six team, they don't like clapping back at people on Twitter. They always try to like just kind of uphold their squeaky clean image. And they literally just put out a statement saying George Parros is bad, is unfit to do his job and should be fired. Like, which is crazy to think that this, you know, this, you know, milquetoast at times organization would put out a statement like that. The league has created this problem because this has happened before with Wilson, and he just kind of gets a, you know, and I will even concede, I think some of the hits in the past, not if you go through his rap sheet, quote unquote, I don't necessarily think every hit, I think some are reputation. Last night, though, I don't think those were reputation. I think both of those, the Panarin one more so than the Buchnevich one, because obviously things happen in a scrum. I definitely understand that. I don't even mind the punches to the back of the head as much as it's I do think holding a guy, pinning a guy down with your stick, I think that's dangerous. You know, I don't, the punches to the back of the head, I don't like it, but I think is more understandable to me. I have not a clue in the fucking world why he didn't get something. I was prepared. I knew it was going to be disappointing no matter what, but just to not even get a single game for, you know, and only not even, it's like the Panarin incident doesn't get any subsequent supplemental discipline, and it's just a $5,000 fine. And it seems like literally every hockey pundit on Twitter, outside of like a, you know, an idiot like a Mike Harrington or a, you know, what's that, Haggerty and Buff in Boston, who everyone seems to fucking hate, you know, are the only two people standing up for, and I'm sure there's people in, you know, Washington beat writers as well, but it seems like literally every other hockey personality on Twitter has also said like, this is fucking ridiculous. And listen, I think I understand, at least from, as you know, when you have a player that does something and like it seems like every other fan base is coming after your guy, yeah, obviously the coach is going to stick up for him and then the fan base can rally around him. But listen, like, I'm a Rangers fan. Like, Tony DeAngelo is a shithead, and when he does shitty things, like, you know, I have no problem being like, yeah, this guy's a fucking idiot. Like, so the fact that like you either have to choose violence and support Tom Wilson, or you can't just be like, I love what Wilson brings. I haven't seen any Caps fans being like, oh, I love what Wilson brings, but he's got to like just tone this shit down because he's going to hurt us. I haven't seen that once. It's either, I don't know why it has to be one or the other. I think that's like the path of least resistance, is being like, you know what, this guy, he has a unique skill set. He's a physical freak. He can, you know, for the fact that he's so big and strong, he skates like the wind and he can make some plays. And it's just like, he just needs to learn to hone this. But instead, it's just like, you know, it's almost like they fuel the fire and then the league doesn't do anything. And now we're in the situation we're in, because now the Rangers, which are a soft team, they're soft as baby wipes before, just because they're the youngest team in the league and they're rebuilding and they're trying to get, you know, and the players they maybe would have had are all out anyway. Truba's hurt, so he's been out. Ryan Lindgren's hurt, so he's out. I guess that leaves Brendan Smith, maybe. Like, you know what I mean? And So now we have this thing where like Rangers fans are like, we're going to have to find some mutant in like the ECHL or like, call, you know what I mean? Or like call up like Mason Geertsen, who I think plays for Hartford, who's like 6'8" or something. And it's, and like, and that's what they're saying. You have all these people and it's weird just to see people that are like, that they literally preface their tweet, I am not this guy, ... but it's time for like street justice. You know what I mean? Then they break a bottle and they get a torch. So Troll, I am interested to hear your take on, I mean, I know what your take is on this, but I'm just saying, I'm like, is it, do you, does it feel like everyone is coming for your boy? Is that why you guys are riling around him so hard? Do you think at any point, you literally,
every time. Yeah.
This just in, Rangers just signed Sean Avery to a one game contract.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're exactly right. Yes, it is. Every time Wilson does anything questionable, you're right. I mean, people are, you know, breaking the bottles and getting the pitchforks ready. But here's what, so the initial play is what I have issue with probably the most. And that's when Buchnevich comes in. He is actually on top of Wilson's stick. So Wilson's not like holding him down. He's just on top. The stick is like out. Buchnevich's neck happens to be there. So instead of, you know, ripping it out or, you know, being Sidney Crosby and, you know, trying to shake it loose against PK Subban's head, he lets it go. And then I think something happened in the pile. And I think that what it was he perceived Buchnevich to be kicking at the puck. Because, you know, he's there trying to, like, get that goal. And, you know, he sees skate blades going at Vanacek and it, you know, whatever the cause. And he hits him. But I think he kind of, in one of the angles, it shows really well that he goes in with a punch and he's grabbing the jersey to, like, pull him over. So I don't think he really actually hit him in the head. But that was the one initially I was like, oh, that's the suspension there. The Panarin slam to the ground, I took that as they're fighting. You know, this is two guys going because at this point there's three blue jerseys basically all trying to maul Tom Wilson. Panarin is the closest and Tom Wilson basically just kind of gives him the in the head to get off. And then Panarin does come around with a nice right hook. And at that point it's over. I mean, when you throw one punch, no matter how many punches you've thrown in the past, it becomes a two-way street now and they're fighting. And I think that's kind of what Tom Wilson did. And to throw him down without the helmet, you know, I mean, I think that again, like you said, Tom Wilson being the freak that he is and how strong he is, maybe he doesn't know his own strength or I don't know. No, he knows his own strength, I'm sure. But I'm sure.
I'm 6'3". I'm a giant man, but I don't go around smashing doors because you know I don't know my strength. Like
but the point is that at this point, I believe Tom Wilson thought they were fighting, and he threw Panarin down, which was unfortunate. And then he gets on top of him, gives him a couple little like gloved smacks to the head. He does do that. And keeps him down. I mean, you know, don't get up after this when we're fighting. At that point, I thought he showed a little bit of restraint. I mean, he could have really hurt Panarin in that situation. Although I guess he is hurt. What's the injury? I thought it was a lower body injury he's out with. Is that not right?
I think they say lower body, but it's from, they asked him, was it from player, was it from the fall? So I think everyone, because they saw get thrown down with the head, that they were like, oh, did he get concussed and it's going to be like a concussion thing. I think it was just, you know, landing on his either back or lower back from getting thrown to the ice. So but I mean, before, you know, we keep going, I do want to hear what everyone else has to think. Nick Berlansky, what are your thoughts on
pile on please?
To be completely honest, when I looked at this play, there's a lot that happens in just about a minute. The initial thing, I'm kind of the opposite as Hockey Troll. The initial thing I didn't think was very much because he was underneath his stick and there was something to be said about the motion that he had. But to me, it looked like he hit his nameplate when he went to do that little rabbit punch. The angles that I've seen, it didn't look like he hit him in the head there, but right. I can see how if you're Strom, who immediately reacted from the angle you're looking at, he probably thought he did start just clocking him in the head. So then of course people pile on. I'm not sure if Panarin was trying, and I'm not one to judge from where I'm at. I don't know if Panarin was trying to pull him off, and he's just so much smaller than Wilson that he had to leave his feet to even reach his shoulders.
Yeah, it looked like, you know, like in the Goonies, they're jumping on like the bad guy's back to try to get him to like leave their buddy alone. That's basically what it looked like.
And Wilson, being the freak that he is, basically turned his hips and threw Panarin back into the boards, which caused another big scrum. I more so have the problem with when Panarin's helmet is off, you're in a scrum there, but that's not a fight. Because if it's a fight, you're dropping your gloves. You're not sitting there playing handsy with each other. And then with Wilson, what looked like when he grabbed Panarin's head and then also forearmed him at the same time, that's what I had the issue with. And the fact that the fine is basically for what he did to Buchnevich, and they kind of just tossed what he did to Panarin aside as, well, we handled that. That, to me, was the problem I had. But the biggest thing I had was the fact that the linesmen were sitting there looking like they're getting ready to have a beer, leaning up against the cage while there's 10 players in a melee. Like, that is an issue with player safety, 100%, because you should be, at that point, all hands on deck trying to pull whatever you have in front of you apart. But no, I had more an issue with the way he took Panarin down than I did with what he did to Buchnevich.
Matt, Joe, anything to add?
Matt, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I mean, initially, yeah, I think the first part looks somewhat bad. I did see the video. I don't know who posted it about like trying to claim that he was kicking the goalie or something like that. That was definitely not the case. I don't really care if like you're thinking that the person – I played defense growing up, and if I was in a pile and I saw someone kicking at the puck to try to kick it in illegally, I mean, my first reaction would not be, let me rabbit punch this person in the head a couple times. But, I mean, it is what it is. Like, I don't really care about that as much as I think it's just the culmination of everything. So it's the play that seemingly looks like a potential cross check to the neck. If it is or isn't, I'm not like overly upset about that play too much. He could then kind of get away with that if he didn't just rabbit punch him a couple times after the fact and then follow it up with seemingly grabbing Panarin by his hair when he throws him down, which is another kind of suspect move, in my opinion. I don't think anything was that egregious to the point like the Rangers post made it seem to be.
Horrific violence act or whatever they called it. Jesus,
I don't think.
A little hyperbolic.
Yeah, like I'm not the type of person who thinks like hitting should be out of the NHL, like fighting should be out of the NHL. I love all of that. But at the same time, I do believe because of his reputation, the fact that you have a superstar player in Artemi Panarin being hurt and out for the rest of the season, which is typically something that the Department of Player Safety looks to dictate suspensions, and they just completely disregard that fact and give him a $5,000 fine. I mean, it's just a terrible look on the Department of Safety, because their whole point is that if you're a repeat offender, you're kind of held to a different standard, and that wasn't the case. So,
well, what if it was Ovechkin that did this instead of Tom Wilson?
I mean, I would probably have the same thought. Maybe I wouldn't think he would get as many games. Just because, again, it's a reputation. It's like he's gone over the edge to the point where he shouldn't have injured someone when he had the chance to kind of pull off. Like, my whole thing is, you look at, it's Panarin going after you, right? Like, he's so strong, he doesn't have to fully engage. He can keep him at arm's length. I do understand it's the heat of the moment. He also has to understand how he's viewed in the league's eyes, I feel like, at a certain point. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't have to protect himself, but I don't think he has to worry about Artemi Panarin's 165-pound glove punch. Like, he can handle himself against Ryan Reeves. I think he can handle kind of just keeping himself at bay.
It's a right cross, though. Panarin does throw a solid punch to the face, like, in that scrum. He does cock back and just, I mean, you can see him clearly give him one right across. And I mean, it throws Wilson's head back. It is a punch, nonetheless.
I'm not saying he didn't engage, but I just think Tom Wilson, which he obviously hasn't, like, should at this point understand how he's being viewed by the league. I'm not saying he should completely change his game, because I think he's an extremely effective player. And I just believe that he is someone that continually crosses the line and just, I don't want to say hasn't been held to account for it, but I believe he at least should have gotten, like, the NHL could have avoided like a whole mess if they just gave him like a game or two, which wouldn't really have impacted you guys all that much, but it shows a message that they seem to care. I mean, department safety is like, it's a joke,
yeah,
in my opinion.
The problem is the fact that they're so inconsistent. And I for some reason, I went to bat for Tom Wilson earlier this season when they suspended him 7 games and gave the reasoning being basically, in not so many words, he's suspended because he's Tom Wilson. And they did that to him earlier in the season, yet when he does something actually like this, they give him a slap on the wrist. So it's a problem that, as Andy said, they created this monster on their own. And Washington has their hand in it too. And I hate to make the comparison because as far as talent-wise, they're completely different. But Matt Cook for the Penguins back in the day, I'm sure every one of your fan bases hated him because he did similar things. He did dirty things, and it got to the point where management had to sit him down and say, if you continue to do this, you're not going to have a spot on this team because you're hurting this team. And I feel like Washington has a part as well, the Capitals organization, in not looking at him saying, hey, listen, this is going to hurt this team because they need him on the ice. He's that good of a player. And whenever he gets suspended, which he didn't this time, but he gets suspended for 7 games earlier in the season, that hurts the Capitals.
And that sets the precedent. And that's what you talk about for inconsistency is, like, if that's what you're saying, like, he hit him kind of high, like, the hit itself isn't 7 games worthy, but because it was Tom Wilson, they're kind of looking at that rap sheet, as you mentioned, Andy, like, that's why they gave it to him. So if that's the case, then you can't turn around later on the season and then to say, like, we're not going to consider anything you previously did.
Yeah. And who, I mean, so he gets served, he gets fined $5K. Who got, what's his face? Just got, that's the same amount that, who threw his helmet at who was that a few weeks
McKinnon.
Ago?
McKinnon.
Yeah. McKinnon chucked his bucket at someone. They fined him $5K. So now, and that's the thing, is that this goes kind of like both ways. Even with minor infractions, you're going to have players like, you're going to fine me $5K when, you know, I got angry and chucked my bucket at someone's, like, you know, at a chest protector. Meanwhile, this guy, like, you know, grabbed someone by the head and, like, kind of almost gave him, you know, scooped him back and threw him to the ice, like, on his, you know, head and his back. So, yeah. And again, like, yes, I do think Wilson is, you know, like I said, I don't think everything he's ever been suspended for was like absolutely him trying to hurt someone. But I do feel it does seem like the fact that he's never got anything that you see him flexing in the box and all this stuff. I do think it's just that I think management, like, and because it's like this thing where it never comes from up top. It never comes from player safety. So it comes from like hockey Twitter and pundits. And then management has to then like shield him and wrap themselves around him, be like, no, like everyone in the league would love to have this guy, and they're jealous. And then all the fans are like, yeah, you're jealous of this guy and St. Thomas and all this other horse shit. And then now you have this guy, exactly. And now you have this guy like flexing. He's like, yeah, everyone hates me. I'm misunderstood. So I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to be the villain. And they like, and it's like, I don't, at the end of the day, I don't know if I really blame Tom Wilson for all this. I mean, yeah, I blame him a good bit, but like at the same thing is that we keep saying
it's like, you don't blame him? Oh my God.
I mean, no, I blame him for this incident, but at the same time is that the fact that it's gotten to this point, the league, I blame the league more. Like I blame Tom Wilson for this specific incident. I absolutely like it. I thought it was fucking dirty. And like, even if you can maybe say on the Buchnevich thing, he thought he was in the scrum, the Panarin thing, I thought he should have got something before. I thought it was horseshit. He didn't. I thought he should at least get the rest of the season and a couple games into the playoffs, but he doesn't get anything for that. He doesn't get shit for that. And he gets fined $5K. And again, it becomes this thing where now that they don't do anything, it like fuels that right self-righteousness from his camp being like, see, I didn't do anything wrong. And all these people are coming after me. Well, they're just what? And it's almost, it almost gasses him up to do more. And that's the thing. And that's why I said, now you have all these people going who is like, oh, I'm not this guy, or like fighting should be banned. But at the same time, like, now we need to take matters in our own hands. And like I said, the Rangers don't have, that's like not how they're constructed. They're the youngest team in the league. They're like, they're a bunch of like, half of them still have spots on their face. Like, they're not, they don't have anyone, like, you know what I mean? So it's just, now it's creating that expectation. Now there's this expectation that this team of like, you know, teenagers has to like exact their pound of flesh from Tom Wilson. You know what I mean? And none of them are up to the task. Cause like,
right, you, but know. You know, it's not going to happen. Like, but here's the thing. Tom Wilson will answer a bell. You want to fight? He'll fight you.
Well, yeah, that's, but again, that's what I'm saying, is that like, it's, I don't have any problem if Wilson tried to just literally cold cock Panarin in the face. It's just, it's like, and that's, but that's the thing. It's like, it's never, I don't think anyone has a problem with Tom Wilson, the guy who like fights people. I think people have problem with Tom Wilson, the guy who like throws late hits and like, you know, errant elbows and knees and like, you know, or slew foots guys or throws them down. You know what I mean? So it's like, again, I don't think it's a, now, and that's the thing, is that now this becomes deeper into the waters of like the hockey code and like, you know, having to, and then it's like, it almost a rate, it's because now it becomes more about how what's the answer than the initial thing. We're all going to forget about this, and it's going to be about this. Oh, well, now the Rangers play the Caps again tomorrow night. What's going to happen? And we're almost going to, like, it's like, as much as there's this initial outrage, especially from the Rangers, now it's going to be, it's like, it's just, they don't focus on that. Now it's going to be focused on like, well, did the Rangers, they have to do, the league's not going to protect them. So what are they going to do? So let's say they hire, or hire, let's say they call up some guy from the coast or the AHL to fight Wilson. And let's say they fight and it goes on for 2 minutes and it's like, they both fall to the ice at some point or whatever. One of them gets the better of the other or whatever, no matter what the outcome is. Then everyone taps their sticks and it's like, yeah, we finally, you know, he answered the bell, like he called him out and he answered the bell and we finally, like, you know, mediated out justice or whatever. Yeah, Panera's still out for the season. Doesn't do shit for me. Doesn't do shit for the Rangers. Like, you know what I mean? They're out. Obviously they're not making the playoffs, but it's like, it's just furthering passing the buck from player safety and the league who doesn't protect its players. You know what I mean?
Vigilante justice of violent besets violence and perpetuates more violence is kind of what you're worried about, in that sense of like devolving the NHL.
It's not even, yeah, I'm just worried about the league once again not having to be responsible for its own incompetence. That's really it, because that's what it's the narrative and the discussion is literally turning into that now. It's like, oh, they're not going to do anything, they're a joke, so now we have to. And it's almost like, it feels like that already, that initial groundswell of like holding their feet to the fire. Although I'm glad the Rangers came out with that statement, because that almost, it seemed to be going that way. And I'm like, nothing's going to happen. So I do wonder now what's going to happen. Are they going to fine the Rangers more than Wilson got fined just for saying 100%. Like, yeah. Oh, I mean, obviously, whoever you know, the Knicks are good. So James Dolan, they probably said, hey, we want to put this out. And he said, you can just do whatever. You can light my checkbook on fire. I don't care. Like, the Knicks are in the playoffs, baby. So like, he doesn't give a shit. But yeah, it's just, again, it's like, I almost want, yeah, I nothing will come of it, because obviously they'll never go back and say, oh, well, we got this one wrong, or after further review, we have hired a review board to overlook, or to, you know, to review the review process that George Parros and the Department of Player Safety went through. So it's too late now. You know what I mean? It's just, and that's, I don't know. It just feels like sooner or later, and it might not even be Wilson, or he might not even be involved. But I just feel like this, things like this have ramifications down the line, and it's like someone's going to get hurt or paralyzed or worse, and it's going to be something that was ultimately avoidable. And it's literally, even if you have to, it could have been a situation where they're just like, if anything that involves the head is like a game or close to it or something, even if it was accidental and it sucks, but at the same time, and it's going to happen to everyone then, because that shit happens all the time, but at the very least you'll be like, well, they're trying, and it's like, it's some form of but just the fact that something that seemingly, even if it was, let's give him the benefit of that, even if it was accidental, like, you know, it's the same way, you kind of have to be responsible for your stick. You have to be responsible for what you're doing out there if you're, you know, going to get involved with someone. So I, again, I just, I don't know why there wasn't anything for the Panarin play. Even if the Buchnevich, I thought there should have been something too, but just, yeah, again, like as I am furious with Wilson, trust me. And I'm trying to be as fair and unbiased as possible, but at the same time, I still can't help but feel that the league is the most responsible for this, but Wilson is obviously very close, you know, right behind it.
Sure. Joe, you've been chirping in, but what's your take?
When Tom Wilson got drafted, I'm pretty sure he got taken right after the Flyers picked Scott Laughton. And you'd be crazy to think the Flyers weren't really looking at Tom Wilson, because that's the kind of player the Flyers would love to have. They, you know, we're not original six like the Rangers, but I mean, we made our name in beating people up. That's how we won 2 Stanley Cups. But even for me, it's gotten to be too much now. He's crossed into that kind of Matt Cook territory. Like, he's there now. And it's a shame, because he is a unicorn. He is such a good player. He has so many amazing tools. And then he just does shit like this. And I don't understand it. I don't buy into the argument that it's the heat of the moment. Throw that shit out, okay? You're a grown man. Handle it. You know, you've got 150-pound soaking wet Artemi Panarin. No helmet. You're going to throw him to the ice? He could have cracked his skull open. He could be dead. Literally, he could have died. If he hit his head the right way, we would be having a horrific discussion. This is a grown man with massive strength, incredible skill. Why? He doesn't need to do this. And yet he continues to just keep crossing over the line a little and a little. And for what it's worth, I didn't think he deserved 7 games for that hit on Brandon Carlo. It was the gray area, but 7, I was shocked when it was that many. I would have gone maybe 3, maybe 2. But, and then you followed up with $5,000 and he sneezes that. I mean, come on. It's just a really bad look for the league when forever now they've been talking up concussion protocol and concussion this and that. And you've got a guy with no helmet, one of the best players in the entire world, and you let him get thrown to the ice with no helmet, and there's just a $5,000 fine. That's it. And again, the Rangers are as white toast, boring, you know, original six as it gets. You don't hear a word from them. That the letter they sent out to their fans for the rebuild, like, that was unbelievable. I couldn't believe they even did that. It's they are very quiet. And for them, the letter was over the top, by the way, extremely hyperbolic. But I mean, I was shocked when it came out. I was reading it. I was laughing a little bit, but I mean, you get this kind of Texas justice now. Like, what's going to happen? Again, Rangers have nobody. They don't have anyone that can fight. I joked on our podcast yesterday, go get Jody Shelley back and have him come up and fight him. Yeah, but like
Colton Orr signed to a pizza.
Colton Orr. I really like Tom Wilson. I enjoyed his style of play. I really like physicality, but I don't understand why he does the things he does. And it's gotten to the point where it's very bizarre for someone with that much skill to have done this again. So that's where I'm at with it. I can't make heads or tails of it. It's just bizarre.
Let me just, one defense of it is, and I know that it's hard to defend this crowd, but look, I mean, this is the first time that he's been, I feel like in a long time, I'm thinking back to his suspension, they've always been between the whistle plays, right? Hits, maybe too high, maybe too late. But this is one of the first times that he's ever been suspended for like antics that are between whistles. After the whistle. Am I wrong here? Am I wrong? I can't remember in recent memory.
Like, but I would give more credence. I give more credence to hits than I do after whistle plays, because after whistle plays, it's not a bang, bang play. You are at full mental capacity. So I don't give you as much leniency. I give more leniency to the hit against Sundqvist in the not even a real game. It was an exhibition, and he destroyed him in the middle of open ice. It was Scott Stevens, Eric Lindros. It was the same exact hit, or Paul Kariya, insert name there. And we've seen that 1,000 times, but I give no credence to, he's got to have his head on his shoulders. He's so sure. Good of a player. He doesn't need to do this.
And this is what I was going to say, is that this is kind of the first time he's been punished or come into the negative spotlight based on goon type activities, if you will. Dude, but the thing that I keep going back to is that, like, and I know that I have the blinders on 100%, but what if this was somebody else, like Gallagher or Kachuk or, you know, literally anybody else other than Tom Wilson?
If they body slammed Artemi Panarin to the ice without a helmet, would I have the same reaction?
Yes. Yeah.
And the problem is he loses all benefit of the doubt because of everything else he's done. It's just the way it works, right? I mean, he's known as a guy that crosses the line in the box.
That didn't really help either.
I mean,
with the benefit of the doubt, I think the four of us that aren't from Washington podcasts have done as much as we can to give Tom Wilson the benefit of the doubt here on this podcast. But at the same time, how do you defend watching Tom Wilson take a guy 100 pounds lighter than him and basically bouncing his head off the ice like a basketball? I mean, I'm sure there's some Russian mobsters that are happy about it. But other than that, unless you're from Russia or Washington, you saw that for what it was, which was a dangerous play to make.
Well, it's going to be interesting because now I'm looking on Twitter and in that fight or that wrestling match between Konechny and Crosby, it looks like Crosby
bounces his head off the ice, he almost
tries to do this, and like it'll be obviously now if I'm for trying to project what hockey Twitter looks like tomorrow, I'm sure there are going to be people being like, obviously you have the old hockey guard will defend Crosby and say, well, this is different, you know, he's Sidney Crosby's, you know, Captain Canada, he's a leader or whatever. Then you're gonna have people that are like, no, it looks like he almost tried to do the same thing, he should also get something for this. And then it would be hilarious to me if they're like, well, man, we really fucked up that Wilson one. They give Crosby like,
I mean, Crosby three games,
ultimately only serving to make Caps fans and hockey troll a happy boy, you know, by trying to be like, you know, like we really fucked this up and we can't have the, you know, the Flyers now coming after us too, you know, so suspend Sidney Crosby for like
this happens once a week.
Well, but I will.
After Wessel scrums where helmets get popped and guys fall down, maybe not in the severity, but it happens once a week. And this is why I don't understand. I mean, this is why I feel like because it's Tom Wilson, because it's Tom Wilson, there's extra vitriol poured on this.
Well, yes, there is, but at the same time, it's like, I don't think Tom Wilson just keeps finding himself on the wrong street corner being like,
wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. And it's not even because there's plenty of guys that play a game, you know, as maybe obviously he's unique in that he is like so big, fast for how big he is. So kind of adds some impact. But again, it's like, yeah, I think it's one of those things that, yeah, obviously there's can always be room for like, you know, maybe he just wanted to blanked out or he wanted to, Paul, I think she's throwing the book across me. It's like we were going at it and I was just in my head, I was like, just going to try to ragdoll, but I wasn't trying to specifically, you know, bounce his head off. But again, it just looks like he just takes two hands and puts them on the cranium and literally just, you know, almost uses his hips to help him. Yeah, exactly. And it's just, and like you said, the fact that it's between the whistles, because I'm watching during a play, Crosby and Konechny wrestling and one's on top of the other. And then they kind of, but yeah, it looks like Crosby snaps for a moment and almost tries to like do the same thing, only albeit in because they're already like wrestling, it's, and they're already kind of hunched over. It's not, it doesn't look, it definitely doesn't look as severe, but like, I do think if it looks like that, you know, if I watch it again and it looks like the intent is to drive the head, I think that's why I'm saying before, anything that has to do with, it looks like intent to do anything with the head, like I don't care what degree of severity it is. Like, I think that's the things they need to be going after, you know, big and small. And I think that's the biggest thing is that it's like, you literally had Andrew Shaw retire last week due to concussions. And like, now it's like, there's something, this shit's happening, and I don't know. It's just, again, I'm obviously disappointed that nothing came of it. I'm not one of these people who thinks like Tom Wilson shouldn't be allowed in the NHL.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do think it's like, you know, I think there's a bit like if they fail to like show the severity of it, I think in his mind it does get downplayed, or it's like he's kind of like, listen, because I don't think he's that, like, I don't know if it's like, I don't think he's a sociopath. I think he enjoys the role he fills and plays. But at the same time, it's like, I do think it's, you can get wrapped up in those things. I think Matt Cook and your Sean Avery's and these guys, that becomes their identity. And it's like that's what they tell themselves. This is what I have to do. And I think they get wrapped up in it. So yeah, I think I think he should have got something for that. But still, I'm lying if I'm saying I'm not more disappointed in the fact that player safety continues to be just an absolute joke. So, but we get to go back and forth and all night. I actually have to record my own podcast now, so I have to wrap this up. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the league does now with the Rangers statement, because obviously that these teams play each other tomorrow night. So I haven't seen any strange call ups for the Rangers. Like I said, I don't know if they have some in the ECHL, they have like test tubes going, and they're going to, like,
I heard Donald Brashear is on a train right now.
Yes, they somehow got a swab of Tony Twist's saliva, and like they have Probert's blood somewhere. So they're going to make something in a test tube or something, but we'll see.
Yeah. And we can wrap this up, but to your point, I mean, I think that if the NHL is really serious about this, and I've said this, the reason that I defend Tom Wilson is because a lot of the hits that I think that he makes and a lot of things he's gotten suspended for are, and as Nick said, like, especially the last one, they did it because it's Tom Wilson. What they need to do is put a rule that says, if you make any head contact, whatever, in the sense of a glancing blow or a full on, smash to the head with your elbow, it's at the very least a 2 minute to a 5 minute major that affects in game play immediately, repercussions. And then it's an automatic like check with the Department of Player Safety for a minimum of X amount of whatever punishment. They should just literally outlaw any head contact whatsoever between whistles during play. That's the, much like a high stick is called, like you said, Andy. I mean, that's, I think the way that they need to do it, to make any real change, but the league seems so uninterested in making that change. And, the Department of Player Safety is just kind of their patsy and being aimlessly trotted around like a chicken with its head cut off. It's literally like that South Park episode. It's like, what are we going to give this guy? And they cut the chicken's head off and throw it on the thing. 5 games, 2 games, play the kazoo. Right. So I don't know I guess we can leave it at that. I thought that was going to get a little bit more heated. I'm so glad, Andy, that you were able to join us today. So as we wrap up, why don't you take the first plug for your podcast and let us know where we can find you.
Yeah. So you can follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod. We also have a link tree, which is also / Broadway Boys Pod. So there'll be links for wherever you listen to your podcasts, for our YouTube account, where we occasionally put up videos, our Instagram. And again, James and I will be covering our thoughts, obviously, with not this diplomatically, on our pod that drops Thursday morning. So there'll definitely be more cursing and tough guy when it's just me and James in our echo chamber. But I am proud of myself because I did try to be as level, because with these things, I think you have to be, especially if you want to get to the root of like, how does it get better? Because I think when you get like the tribalism of like our guy versus your guy, and it doesn't really do anyone else good, because again, it could be some person who hasn't suited up for the Kraken yet, who eventually gets, reaps the, unfortunately, the poor benefits of not taking this shit seriously. So yeah, follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, the new podcast every Monday and Thursday. And boys, it was a lot of, it was an interesting one, but it was also a lot of fun.
Absolutely. As always, man. Who's next? You guys want to, Joe, you want to give the final plug?
Sure. Yeah. You can follow me, Matt and Mike, over at Three Pigeons Pod on Twitter. We'll probably drop this as a full episode for our listeners, because we've done this with the Penguins boys in the past too, and some of the Boston guys. We like to have different views and different takes on teams, because like I said at the very start of this, we're still hockey fans at the end of the day. We just love watching hockey. So obviously, again, biggest offseason the Flyers have had in a decade. So if you want Flyers talk, if you want to hear us either praise or scold Chuck Fletcher, check us out on Twitter, Apple, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. You can listen to me and Matt yell at Mike, who's the voice of reason between the three of us.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Do you have a personal handle that you would like to direct people to?
You could check me out. I don't even know what my personal Twitter handle is. Hang on. It is Joe_Geezy_. You can come at me, Tom Wilson Defenders. Again, I like the guy. He's very, very skilled. I don't think he needs to act the way he does. So that's if you want to come in my DMs, you're welcome. I'm a civilized man. We can have a nice discussion. So come one and all.
All right. Matt, what's up, man? Tell us where you can find you.
Uh-oh. Matt, you there, buddy?
Yeah, that was weird. Hold up. Getting like a million calls here, apparently. Yeah, it's Mike, so just three. Yeah. Just to reiterate what Joe said, obviously the Three Pigeons Pod on Twitter. My Twitter is typical Matt 5. Probably not going to respond to you if you were say something about Tom Wilson or something. Don't really have time for that. But yeah, like Joe said, being a Flyers fan is tough right now, but we are excited to watch some really good games in the Metro in the playoffs. So definitely look forward to being part of that discussion and see kind of how things shake out.
Absolutely. And Berlansky, I guess we'll give you a shot too.
You can follow our show at Iceberg Podcast on Twitter, on Instagram. We are at the Tip of the Iceberg Podcast on YouTube now. So if you want to see this ugly face a little bit more often, you can go on YouTube, Tip of the Iceberg Podcast on Facebook as well. You can follow me at Nick_Berlansky on Twitter. Coming up for the podcast, we have Josh Yowie on Thursday's episode from The Athletic. We're kind of just going to break down where the Penguins are at right now heading into the playoffs and some weaknesses going into the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then, of course, with Thursday's episode coming up, that'll be the first time I get Horwat in front of a mic since the Tom Wilson thing. And he will probably not be as diplomatic as me or Andy or either of the Pigeons Pod guys. So definitely tune in for that reaction, because although we don't have it on the docket, we do have a Thursday segment weekly that is called Shoutouts and Callouts. And I have to believe that there's going to be some sort of call out from Horwat. So definitely tune into that if you want to hear his take. And I'll probably be a little less diplomatic too. I believe he should have gotten, you know, the rest of the season in the first four of the playoffs, but that's something for a different day. I guess I'll close it at that. Troll, you still got to give yours though.
Yeah. Berlansky, I think that your face is probably one of the best things about the podcast, bud.
Oh, thank you.
You can find me at Hockey Trolling with an IN, repping the Washington Capitals as always at Caps Chirp. Mondays and Thursdays, sorry, is when we release. So check us out. We'll definitely also be talking about Tom Wilson, probably a much more brighter light than everybody else who has piled on today, which I can absolutely understand. He's a big boy. He's strong. He scores goals. He's a patron saint. So who knows? Check us out. And I guess we'll cut it at that. Thanks for tuning in to the East Division Podcast, the Mass Mutual East. I don't know if we're going to get sued for saying that, but whatever. until next time, we'll have to do this again, boys. Definitely maybe like middle of the playoffs or something. So thanks to all of you for joining. And for all the listeners, thanks for tuning in and watching the live stream. Until next time, take care.
All right. Well, hope you guys enjoyed that change of pace for a little bit. We here at the Three Pigeons Podcast want to thank all of our fellow Mass Mutual hosts for having us on. Matt and I had a great time. Mike's going to have to hop on the next one. But it's, you know, it's always great to hear from the other side and get fresh perspectives, especially since the Flyers are not going to be in the playoffs this year. You know, we're still going to be watching a ton of hockey. I'm sure you are too, listeners. So it's good to kind of feel out, you know, what other teams are thinking, what are their plans are going to be for the offseason, or, you know, what their plans are for the playoffs. But boys in orange and black only have a few games left, so let's see how they do. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take care.